All right, that was a great song. And again, thank you for being with us here this morning. We're going to be in Psalms chapter number 37. And I know it's a little bit later than we usually get started, but I'll speak fast, you listen fast, and we should be good. Of course, all of us have to live with our emotions. Everybody has them. Some seem to have a little bit more than others sometimes, but if we do not keep our emotions in check, it can cause problems. One of the emotions I think that really, really can mess us up is anger. It's when our anger goes unchecked and we let it get out of control. Anger in some instances is not necessarily wrong. We all have it. There are plenty of things I could get up here and I can get upset about. Righteously so. Some of the things that our society is doing to our children and some of the nonsense that's being spread around, but that's not the point. Bible does tell us there are some things we should be upset about, right? But there's a balance. It says, be ye angry and sin not. In other words, even though there are some things we should be upset about, we never let that emotion control how we react to it. But a lot of times we react to anger in the wrong way. There are two of our presidents from many years ago that they both had a situation where they could be upset and they handled it wrong. Andrew Jackson was the 7th president of the United States, and he was known for having a very violent temper. And there was a man he had an issue with, and he would not settle it, and he acted in anger towards the man, and actually ended up, because of that, getting shot, and it lodged in him, and they could not take it out, and for the rest of his life, it caused his pain, but he used it as a reminder that the fact that this is what happens when you don't deal with stuff correctly. And then another one of our presidents, Ulysses S. Grant, had a man who was causing him trouble when he was helping to run the armies, and a lot of people suggested to him that he retaliate against the man, and he wouldn't do it, and he said this. He said, I will not make war within my own camp while the enemy is in front of us. He was a man that was able to control his emotions. And I want to see that this morning. Because a lot of times we get upset about things that really we shouldn't. We let things get to us that really, really we could excuse it to be upset. And we shouldn't because it doesn't help us at all. Psalm chapter 37 was written by David. Unlike many of his other psalms, a lot of times you can kind of figure out the situation that was going on in his life that led him to write the psalm. This one we don't know. We do know that it was written when he was a little bit older. David was a man who, although he was the king, had a lot of enemies. You think about it. King Saul tried to take him out long before he was ever the king. His own son Absalom turned on him. He had all these different armies that came after him. He had a counselor, Ahithophel, who sided with Absalom and turned on him. When he was leaving the city after Absalom took over, Shimei is throwing rocks and cursing at him. Joab, really one of his trusted men who fought for him at times, caused him a lot of grief. And then, of course, Michal, his wife, the daughter of King Saul, even gave him problems. David had a lot of opportunity to get mad. David had a lot of opportunity to let things upset him to the point that he would not react correctly, but David handled things right. As we're looking in this psalm, the word we want to see is the word fret. Fret is not necessarily worry. Sometimes we think about fretting and we'll use it in worry, but that's not what the word means. It means to grow warm, to get hot, to become furious. And the Bible tells us in here several times, fret not. Don't get upset. Don't let your anger get to you. It's mentioned there, and then also in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 19, says, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. We know that God wants us to live in peace. He tells us that we can do that personally. We can have the peace of God in our heart that passes all understanding. He tells us to pray for our country and our leaders. And one of the reasons he tells us in 1 Timothy is that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life. And then, of course, in relationship, he tells us to do everything we can to live peaceably with all men. But what is the problem? The problem is when we allow situations, we allow individuals, or we allow things of life to get us to be upset, to get angry. And so I want us to look at that this morning. What are we getting upset about? Let me look in Psalm chapter 37 with you, and let's isolate some of the causes here that David mentioned that would be a reason, if we so choose, for it to dominate our emotions and to cause us to act in a way that's not right. As with anything else, we would look at these things and say, well, some of these are legitimate reasons. But just because something is a legitimate reason doesn't mean we should give in to it. Because it causes us to do things when aren't right, and we will reap the consequences of that. What are some of the things that David mentioned? Look at verse 1. He says, fret not thyself because of evil doers. An evil doer is someone that hurts somebody, and they do it on purpose. Now, that's not just in a physical sense, by the way. All of us, if we're honest, if we've lived long enough in this life, we can know somebody that's done something to hurt us, maybe just emotionally or whatever, but they've done it on purpose. And it's very easy for us to let that get inside of us and to really let it dominate our life. I remember we were living in Florida, and I got a job, and I was overseeing a maintenance of a Kmart. I think Kmart's out of business now, right? And so I would go every night, and I'd work overnight, and it was one of their better accounts, and I worked for a company, and so they had all wax floors, and we were supposed to strip them down one night, and so they sent the boss over me, one of the bosses over me came with me to help me that night. And so we were starting to do the job, and he said, hey, let's do it this way. I said, and I've done this forever. I'm like, we can't do it this way. It's going to cause an issue, and this wax over here is going to mess up. It's going to look bad. He goes, no, just do it the way I said. I'm like, okay. So I did it the way he said, and when we got done at the end of the night, we did the main entrance, and on the edges, it looked horrible. And I was like, oh, don't worry, we'll fix that tomorrow night. So I go home, it was third shift, I go to bed, I get a phone call, my wife's like, hey, the company wants to talk to you. And then the owner of the company, he said, hey, I was talking to so-and-so, my boss. He said, he told me the horrible job you did, you're fired. It wasn't my response. I did what he said, I told him it wouldn't work. Now, in that instance, you know what you want to do? Not nice things. But you know what? You have two choices when things like that happen. Are you going to let that simmer? Or are you just going to let it go? Yeah, well, that took a couple days. But I did let it go. But I was thinking, like, how can I get back at this guy? You know, I'm like, just let it go. Now, the moral of the story is I got a better job somewhere else with better hours and more pay. But I had a choice, and I'm like, I'm not going to let this dominate my life. How many people let people do, but they did that and they meant to hurt me. And I'm not saying to let them continue to hurt you. But sometimes you need to just let it go. There's also envy. Look at verse 1. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. We can look at those who and it seems like they're getting away with what they're doing, and we're envious. Like, why are they doing better? Why is it that they do all of this and I'm trying to do the right thing? And we get envious. By the way, you know who is a great illustration of that? The prodigal's brother, right? I mean, his brother went off and he wasted his inheritance and he lived like the devil, and he came home and his dad forgave him and threw a party because his son was back. And the brother, instead of saying, I'm so glad my brother's home, what did he do? He got mad. And he had a pity party. Is that the way to react? No. And by the way, his brother came back and he was accepted by the father, but he did lose his inheritance. But why do we get upset about that? In Psalm chapter 73, Asaph was one of David's music directors, and he said that he almost slipped away in his faith when he saw people who were evil and they were prosperous, and it seemed like they had everything that they wanted, and here he is serving God and he's struggling, and it almost messed him up, and we get like that too as well. Look at verse 7. We look at those this is kind of the same thing, who are enriched. He says in the middle of the verse, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. In other words, he's living a life purposely in his way that's not right, and we look at it from a standpoint of what's going on in this world and what we call success, and why is it they can live that way, and in essence, it seems like they're being, and I hate to use this word, blessed. I mean, they got all the money they could use. It seems like things are going well for them. And we think about that. By the way, that's because we have the wrong definition of success. We have the wrong definition of prosperity. It's not about how much money you have in the bank. And there's nothing against having money. It's not about what car you drive or how nice your house is or the job you have. And we look at that, we define that as success, but we don't look at all the other things, the blessings that we get from being Christians. We have a relationship with God. We can have a better marriage. We can have a better family. We can have a purpose in life. And we have hope in the afterlife. There's no amount of money that can give you that. And then another reason we struggle is we see the effect of everything. Look at verse 7 again. Because of the man that bringeth wicked devices the path. Bringeth means to cause, to make happen. Devices means plots and purposes. These are people that are scammers, right? By the way, I can help you with this. That email you got, you know, that they want to give you money, it's a scam. Okay? Don't fall. By the way, no one texts you asking you to give them important financial information. Are you with me? I mean, there's so many of them. Now it's like you violated the toll. Come on. Don't answer. Don't ever. There are scammers everywhere. And there are people that you are close to you that may take advantage of you. And at that point, you got a decision to make. Remember years ago, I think it was Marshall Faulk. I'm pretty sure it was Marshall Faulk. He was a football player, played for the Rams, and he's just a good guy. And the guy was interviewing him. He was talking about how his life changed after he became famous and got money. He goes, has anybody ever, has anything ever happened to kind of just discourage you? He goes, my eyes were opened early on. He goes, I had a good friend. I grew up with him. We were great friends. And I found out later that he was stealing from me. He was just taking advantage of a relationship. He goes, my eyes were opened at that time. By the way, there's people that will try to take, I'm not saying let them take advantage of you. And by the way, if someone has, close that door. But don't get bitter. Don't get angry. And a lot of these things he's talking about here are situations with people, right? You understand we have to live around people our entire life? You do understand that. And you understand that not everybody's going to do the right thing, but you have to make a choice. So what happens if we give into it? Well, let's identify the cost here. Because as with anything in the Bible, when we give in and do the things the Bible tells us not to do, there are some consequences that come our way. And we may justify our actions based on the actions of other people, but we're the ones that are going to live the consequences. So be very careful about that. Here's a couple of them. Sin. Verse 8 says, fret not thyself to do in any wise to do evil. How many people, when they're trying to get back at somebody or they act out in anger, they do something that is not right? We said it on Thursday night, right? Anger never leads to righteousness. It only leads to unrighteousness. We allow ourselves to get mad and we think that it's something we can do and we do it and we feel justified and we have excuse and they deserved it. And they don't deserve it. And it doesn't work for us. I saw this video a long time ago. It was a home camera. And I guess they were neighbors and they were out shoveling the snow because they'd had a snowstorm, and and they got in some type of dispute. You know, you're throwing snow on my side. And you can see in the video, they're arguing with each other. And then one of them takes off, comes back with a shotgun, shot the guy and his wife. And then you can see him come up, and he's yelling at the guy after he shot him, and he shoots him again. Went to his house. The while later, the police show up, and he killed himself. Now, I don't think he planned on doing it that day. But in a moment, and that's, by the way, that's the worst case scenario, right? We may not do that. We probably won't. But we'll do something else that'll cause consequences. We'll do something else that'll wreck a relationship. We'll do something else that'll bring something upon ourselves that we shouldn't have had to. Don't give in just because you're upset. Also, it brings a separation. He says in verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but they that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. See, he says, if we do the right thing, it's fine, but the evildoers, so when we react like they do, and we act like they do, we become an evildoer, even though we think we're justified, and we partake of the same punishments. And then he says, verse 2, it's because really of a lack of sight. Look at verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and weather as the green herb. And then if you read later on in the psalm, he talks about those who are evildoers and all these people that are doing these things that we would get upset about. And he's really saying, you know what? There's a payday coming for them. Don't worry about it. We think people get away with things, and so we want to take it into our own hands to make sure that they get what they deserve. And God says, leave that to my hand. That you're not God. You're just ruining yourself, and you're wrecking your life, and you're wrecking your relationships. Let me say this about relationships. When you think that you're getting upset at this person, and your only problem is with that person, that's not true. Because once you become that type of person, that starts to permeate your personality, and you bring it home. And you get bitter. And now you're bitter with your spouse. And now you're bitter with your family. And now you're bitter with your friends. And you react in the way that's not right. Don't just shut it down. Let God take care of that. Yeah, don't let people, I'm not saying you let people take advantage of you. I'm not saying you let people do these type of things. But I'm saying you don't let it get to you. Because you're the one that pays the consequence. Now, there's got to be a cure, right? What are we supposed to do? Because I'll be honest with you, all of us have had and will have opportunities we get upset. So what do? I like it. The Bible says all these one word answers he gives us. You ready? Verse 3, trust. Trust in the Lord and do good. Let's just trust the Lord. Trust is always the key. Because if we feel like everything's out of control and we have to take control, we're not trusting in God to handle the situation. We're not trusting the Lord that he will do what's best. So what do? We trust in the reward and we just do the right thing. Yeah, but pastor, you don't understand this person. They're not doing the right thing. You will not answer to God for what they're doing. You worry about yourself. We're supposed to do good. It's nice it's nice when you do good when you could have done bad. You ever thought about that? Here's what we think. I'm going to get back at that person. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Can I just admonish you? You don't have enough to get away. Okay? None of us do. Like, man, I want to keep my mind. I don't want to pass it on to somebody else. And then you walk away like, yeah, I told them. And then it's like, and what good did it do? Yeah. You feel good in the moment, but later on it's like, it didn't do any good. But you know when you walk away and like, I ain't doing anything. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again, but I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let God handle that. And you walk away like, I controlled myself. There's something good about that. He also tells us to delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. See, one of the things that happens when we get upset is we lose joy. You cannot have an angry spirit and have joy. The two just don't coexist. Yeah, I've met Christians before. I think they think being a Christian is just being angry all the time. No, God wants us to have joy. But if we're always upset and we're always trying to take things into our own hand and we're not trusting God, how can we delight in Him? By the way, He's the one that gives us the desires of our heart. He's the one that gives us the things that we need. Well, that person took it from me. Okay, maybe we made a mistake. Learn from your own mistake. But don't take things into your own hand. He also says, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, if you trust in the Lord, it just naturally leads to committing to Him. Like, okay, Lord, this situation I don't like. This situation I really want to get upset. This situation I've already got a game plan. But you know what? I'm just going to commit myself to You. Your ways are best. And then He says, rest. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Things will be fine. It's okay. Don't get, you know, who has trouble sleeping at night? No, I mean, okay, I don't, melatonin helps with some of that. Let me finish the question, John, thanks. I mean, in a situation where someone does something to get, you get mad and they just go on their own way, who's having a hard time sleeping at night? You're grinding your teeth. You know how it is. You sit in bed sometimes and it's like the thing, you know, the wheel's turning and it's churning and it's in there and you can't sleep. And the person that did the wrong or the person that upset you, they're sawing logs. You know? Don't let them affect you. Rest in the Lord. Lord, you know what? Whenever you feel like that, it's when you just pray and say, Lord, you know what? I don't want to have this burden on my heart. I'm going to just give it to You. I'm going to give it to You. Lord, You know what happened. You know what it is. I'm going to trust that You do what's best. And then He says this, verse 8, cease. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Here it is, two words. Stop it. Just don't get mad. See, we live in a time when we feel like it's okay to be out of control and be angry if we have half a reason. But no one ever has an excuse to get upset. If you're out of control, you cannot blame anybody else. You know, it's like, well, you triggered me. Well, maybe you need a longer fuse. Maybe you shouldn't put any bullets in the chamber. So, by the way, some people, they get mad at the drop of a hat, and they'll drop the hat, right? I mean, they go from 0 to 100 like that. Bible says stop, cease. There's nothing good about letting, and by the way, we would mention it, but it's not just people. It could be circumstances. Things just didn't turn out the way you wanted them to turn out. This didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. And sometimes in the rush of life, and we have so much on our mind that anything that throws us off, we get upset. Now see, stop that. It's not good. And it will not bring the righteousness of God. It will not bring the peace of God in our heart. So as we think about it is, what are the things that upset you? You know what happens a lot of times, and I've done this, I get upset about something, and then you sit down late, like a day later and say, that was stupid. No, I'm not talking about you, me. I would never call anybody that. But it's like, that was such a small thing to get upset about. Why did I let that get to me? Because I wasn't careful. I'm not trusting in the Lord. I'm not committing to Him. I'm not resting in Him. What are you upset about today? You don't have to be. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. It seems like the busier we get in this world, it seems like the more we have to do and the more we have to interact, the easier it is for our emotions to get out of control. But I admonish you, let's not let that happen. By the way, I am sure, because David was human, there were times in his life when his anger got out of control. See, if you read through this chapter, you'll see that he wrote this towards the end of his life. He said that specifically. So David is looking back as an older man, and God is allowing him to use this to let us know, hey, this is not how you should let things go. This is not how you should handle things. Anger is destructive. Destroys everything around us. And it can destroy everything within us. Just follow the Bible admonition. Cease. By the way, we didn't mention this, but the greatest relationship it will hinder is your relationship with God. Because you think about it. If we're so upset about the things going on around us, we have to take control. We have to be the ones to get back at people. That's a lack of faith in God. And that anger we have in our heart becomes a barrier between us and God. Before they have the invitation, I will mention this. Maybe you're with us this morning, and one of the ways we can overcome all of our emotions is through the Spirit of God indwelling in us. But if we're not Christians, God's Spirit does not indwell us. The greater issue we need to answer today is this. Are we for sure that we're Christians? In other words, do we know for sure that if we were to die today, we'd go to heaven, or do we have some doubt? Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, Pastor, this is all kind of new, and I'm not for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's kind of something I'd like to nail down. That's kind of something I'd like to know for sure. With nobody looking around, would you say, Pastor, that's me, I'm not for sure. Pastor, would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that at all? Just raise your hand and I will. Can we stand together this morning? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. At the end of the message, we always open the altar up. If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come? Not saying if you're coming, you're a wicked, evil, rot, you have anger issues, but maybe there's some situations you're thinking about or could think about, like, you know, I'm not going to let that get to me. I've been dwelling on that just a little too much. Why don't you come?